This is Primal Potential, and I am your host, Elizabeth Benton. Primal Potential is about you. Your ability to change is not defined by yesterday and doesn't need to wait until tomorrow. Your transformation is now. Let's get started.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Primal Potential podcast. I am Elizabeth Benton. I am so glad you are here today for a lot of reasons, but at this moment, I'm glad you're here today because my boyfriend is on the show today. If you are listening to this episode the day it airs, happy Valentine's Day to you. We are going to be all cheesy and cliche and talk about everything love and relationship today. But there is a legitimate reason that I felt this conversation was important enough to have on the podcast. Obviously, your time is super valuable, and I wasn't just going to hop on and answer random questions about our relationship if I didn't feel that had value. And I think it has tremendous value beyond the fact that you guys voted pretty much unanimously in favor of this episode. The reason I think it has so much value is that our relationships have a huge influence on our lives. They can be very helpful in the pursuit of our goals. They can be neutral, or they can be an impediment to our goals. Speaking from my own personal experience, and I'm no relationship expert, more disclaimers like that as we go through the show, but I used to feel that if my partner wasn't eating the way I was eating, didn't have the same goals that I had, that it was somehow a negative influence on me, that it could hold me back, that the way you eat could have a negative impact on the way I eat, that somehow it was a big barrier to be with someone in a close relationship where personal priorities were not aligned. And I absolutely believe there needs to be congruence in your life values. But I don't believe anymore, thankfully, that there needs to be congruence in eating habits, eating preferences, and personal goals. I know that's a struggle for so many people. I see it in my inbox every single day. People feeling like, you know, my spouse, my roommate, my boyfriend, my girlfriend doesn't eat the way I eat, and it's so frustrating, and it really brings me down. It holds me back. They're constantly tempting me, etc. So I wanted to have this conversation in part because there's a lot that I have learned about being with somebody who eats differently, who has a different set of priorities for health and for self-care than I do. And also because when I first started dating after divorce, I was super nervous. I was freaked out that putting myself in more social situations would mean weight gain and loss of control. I had put myself in a bubble for so long that I didn't trust myself. I didn't yet have the skill sets. I hadn't developed the practice of taking great care of myself in social situations, in situations where there were lots of indulgences available or lots of alcohol available. I lived in a bubble for so long where I didn't go out to eat. I basically didn't drink. I almost never indulged. And I was really freaked out at the notion of going out to eat, being more social, dating somebody, and still taking great care of myself and prioritizing and honoring my personal goals. It took a lot of practice. It took a lot of practice, and there were ups and there were downs and there were successful days and successful weeks and days and weeks that I didn't feel so successful. But it was an amazing practice. It was a powerful opportunity to learn. And what I know for sure now that I didn't know a couple years ago is it can be done. I can go out when everybody is drinking and be very happy to not drink. I can go out when everybody else is indulging and be very happy not indulging, not feel like it is a sacrifice, not feel like it depends on willpower. I can also go out and have dessert and feel great and honor my goals. I can have dessert and not choose the mindset of, oh, well, I'm off, so I might as well be way off. Bring on the alcohol and make the dessert a double. And, you know, tomorrow we're going out for pancakes. I can indulge in a way that feels both controlled and effortless. But it wasn't effortless at first. And my current relationship was a huge part of that practice. So I am in a relationship where, as I said, we do eat differently, and that question comes up. We'll talk more about that. And I feel like it can actually be a real opportunity to be with somebody who doesn't have the exact same goals, because it challenges you to be secure in the pursuit of your own goals and not allow it to hinge on the behaviors and priorities of the people around you. That skill is one that I have built in this relationship that I think is a powerful, powerful skill that's made my life easier and better in just about every regard. Thank you to everybody who sent in questions for this episode. We did run up against the end of the time we had for it. I had a meeting and we were up on an hour of recording, so we didn't get to answer all of the questions in the podcast, but I did answer them all. We did answer them all in the show notes. So there are questions that were asked that you won't hear the answer to in the podcast, but they are all answered on the show notes page. Not all of the questions are answered on the show notes page, but all of the questions we didn't answer in the podcast that were asked are answered in the show notes page. After we finished recording, I said, oh, we didn't answer the marriage and kids questions. And I was like, should we try to record later? But our schedules just didn't work out to be able to do that. So I didn't want anybody to think that we skipped over the hard questions, the awkward questions about, do we plan to get married? Do we want to have kids? Those answers and a few others are over on the show notes page, primalpotential.com/562. Primalpotential.com/562 has answers to questions that we didn't get to in the podcast, as well as links to the products at the end of the show that he said he likes most from Thrive Market because he eats differently and has a very different palate than I do. That is all in the show notes, primalpotential.com/562. So before we dive in, I just want to put in this obvious disclaimer that we are not relationship experts and we do not have a perfect relationship. We disagree. We fight with each other. We get upset. We are a true work in progress. But we're happy to share how we are navigating living together, being very, very different. We are quite opposite in a lot of ways, and how we make it work. So let's do this. Hi, honey.
Hi.
Are you excited to be on the podcast?
I'm ecstatic.
I don't know if he's excited. Some of you guys asked, we'll jump ahead to a question, like, what's his favorite episode of the podcast? He's listened to part of one episode and nothing more. He does not listen to the podcast, and that's fine with me because I am not my job.
It's my favorite episode.
It's his favorite episode. The one I once asked him before he met my mom, I said, can you listen to this episode where she was on the show? And he listened to part of it, but that's the only podcast episode that he's listened to. So he is a non-podcast listener and now a podcast guest. So thanks for doing this.
It's my pleasure.
I don't think it's necessarily his pleasure, but we're going to have fun anyway. All right. The most frequently asked question we got, I'm going to let you answer, and I have no idea how he's going to answer this, because typically when someone asks us this, the answers are all over the map, and most of them are untrue. So we'll see if he gives the true answer or not. How did we meet, babe?
The true answer is that we met on eHarmony, but I like a little more flavor when I answer. So oftentimes when people ask me, you know, how did you meet? I say cooking class. And I actually got to the point where Elizabeth would also say it at the same time because it was fun to mess with people. Other times I would say at a porn shoot. And to get more in depth with that, people would say, really? I thought you said cooking class. I go, well, that was the name of the movie. And it's just fun to mess with people. But yeah, we met on eHarmony. Success.
Can I raise my thumbs up there?
You can't see them, but they were up.
And now this episode has to be explicit because we mentioned porn. So right out of the gate,
nobody swore. There was no profanity.
Oh, all right. Well, yeah, we broke the ice. First question in. We met on eHarmony.
So the next question is a really important one that I've had a lot of personal growth related to, and that is, do we have the same food philosophy? And if we don't, how do we handle it? And it kind of makes me laugh because though I've done episodes on my food philosophy, if he had to synthesize his food philosophy, it would probably be, if it looks good and I'm hungry, I'm going to eat it. Is that fairly accurate?
I like to more refer to it as a seafood diet. If I see food, I eat it.
Fair enough. So the short answer is no. We absolutely do not have the same food philosophy. And the great thing is that we don't have to, because I have a mouth and I control what I put in it, and he has his own and he controls what he puts in it. And if he is having fries and beer with his burger, I don't have to. And that has no influence on the choice that I make. And that is the beautiful thing about being in a relationship with anybody. You are allowed to do things differently. With that said, though, when I cook at home, you will very happily eat it, right?
Absolutely, because I didn't have to cook it.
And you enjoy. It's not that you don't like vegetables.
Oh,
or no, you.
I love vegetables. You've made some delicious burrito bowls with the cauliflower rice and everything that I can't get enough of.
Yeah, so when I cook, he'll eat it. And he'll enjoy it. And there's rare, has there been anything that I've made that you haven't liked, truly, honestly?
No, you did overcook that first steak, though.
That is true. The first time I cooked him steak,
it was medium.
It was medium, and he wanted it to be rare. Anyway.
Medium.
When I cook, he eats it, he enjoys it, but I would say I don't cook the majority of the time. We go out to eat at least a couple times a week, right?
Yeah. I think we try to eat at home 3 times a week, go out a few times. I mean, it's
pretty good balance. And then we have leftovers. So it's not either, you know, home cooked meal or we're out. I always try to make enough for leftovers. But the reality here is if we go out to eat, it's very common. We could both get a burger and I'm going to get mine without a bun. And more often than not, he's going to get a bun. Or I'm more often than not going to drink water. And he's more often than not going to get a drink. I would say majority of the time if we're out to eat.
It depends on the time of day. I mean, if I'm not going to drink alcohol, it's going to be a seltzer water or something.
He drinks more alcohol. He eats more starch, more alcohol than me.
Yeah.
He teases me that I never drink, but that's not true. I probably drink, a couple times a month, right?
Yeah, we could call it a couple times a month.
He has this thing where I only drink once a year, but that's a stretch, right?
Well, she's usually regretting that one time a year, so.
That is true. I overserve myself a couple times a year, and it is never, ever worth it. But I probably have a drink or two a month on average, I would say.
Sure.
Roundabout. He's kind of shaking his head, but that is
up and down. It's going up and down.
That is the truth. So yeah, as far as how we handle the difference, look, he gets to make his choices. I make my choices. And neither one of us are trying to influence the person the other way. He's never going to be like, oh, come on, just eat it. And I'm never going to say, you know, I don't think you should do that. I mean, by and large, we just respect our differences.
In general, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely.
All right. So, next question is, I love this one. How do you, this came from a listener, handle my type A personality without feeling emasculated? Before you answer, for anybody who, so what happens sometimes if I use sayings like type A categorizations like type A personality or low hanging fruit, like colloquialisms or whatever, we've got listeners from all over the world. So I just want to add a little bit more context so everybody understands what we're talking about for the sake of people who maybe don't know exactly what that means, type A personality. So I am a dominant female, driven, opinionated, all of those things. You should see the faces that I'm getting right now. But all true. So being with somebody who is ambitious, opinionated, how does that not, or does it? I guess we should start with that. Does my personality emasculate you?
No.
Okay. How do you...
Is that okay?
Yes. So have you ever felt threatened or diminished by my strong personality?
No.
So we were having this conversation as I got the questions in and he wanted to know what some of them were. We weren't, were we in the same place when we were talking about this, or were we doing it over text?
You were texting me and telling me how it was going to go.
So yeah, that's true. Which actually speaks to the question. Well, no, the reason was, you know,
I was at work and I had asked you to send me a bunch of the questions so I could at least make sure my answers were appropriate for the podcast.
So when this one came up, he kind of laughed and he was almost a little confused by it. Like, you're a girl.
It was a belly laugh. It was very much a belly laugh. It was very, very much a belly laugh.
So the sense was basically like, how in the world would who you are emasculate me? And we were kind of joking. And I said, well, you can say it.
Well, my original answer was, no, I'm a man. Like, you're a woman, you do your thing. I don't think the way someone else is should diminish who I feel like I am. That's giving the other person entirely too much power. And through talking about this, Elizabeth came up with, well, yeah, you're like a monster truck, referring to me, and I'm a Tonka truck. So she's a Tonka truck. Ask her to back up that Tonka Tonk.
Oh my God. Don't ask me to back up the Tonka Tonk. But yeah, it was kind of, I was like, yeah, if you're like a monster truck, I'm like a Tonka truck. But you bring up a really great point though, because who I am has no bearing on who you are. Right. And who you are, like, I can't diminish you. You can choose to feel diminished or like it's somehow a competition. If my personality is stronger, yours has to be weaker.
She's winning.
I do have a very strong personality, but so does he. Yes. Even if he didn't, though, my strong personality doesn't have to emasculate him. So much of this comes from, am I being who I am, or am I catering to who somebody else is? Am I being responsive to somebody else's vibe and personality, or am I just owning where I'm at and who I am? And that's one of the great things about our relationship, I think, is we do have very strong personalities, but where I am much more introverted, he is much more extroverted. Where I am much more intense, he is much more laid back. But none of it is competitive. And to me, that is very much a choice. He can be very strong and dominant and gregarious in a social situation, and that doesn't inhibit me. It doesn't threaten me. But that's less about the relationship and more about who you come into the relationship as. You know what I mean? Do you have anything to add to that?
Absolutely. I think someone's strong personality can either be used as an excuse or an inhibitor, or it can be used as a catalyst to get you going.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, there are some questions about like what we love about each other and whatnot. But I think that your outgoing and laid back and fun loving personality has brought that out in me. And then in some ways, my focus and discipline has brought that out in you. Do you feel that way?
Yes, I do.
It sounds like there's a but there.
There is no but that tonka tonk.
Butt jokes. Hooray. Okay. This one is a question for you. Somebody asked if you would have dated me prior to all of these big changes in my life. So the short version of the question is, would you have started dating me if I was 350 pounds?
This is a trick question. You are not the same person emotionally or in any other way at 350 pounds. And you've mentioned that on your podcast that I have not listened to. So it's a very unfair question to ask if I would have dated you 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. I wasn't the same person 4 years ago that I am now either. So it's a very, very unfair trap question.
But he doesn't say that with any, like, we welcome all of the questions. And they're,
absolutely.
Yeah. But I think the takeaway is...
I'm not finished. Okay. I'm not... like the slenderest of fellas myself. So I try not to choose who I date based on a number on a scale or a particular body style. So, I mean, a more fair question would be if she gained the weight back, would I date her? And the answer is yes, because she's a wonderful person. But I don't think asking if I would have previously is the right way to go about that.
Yeah, because as I've shared with you guys, I was super, super depressed. I hated myself. There was no joy in my life. And while my body has changed, I've been really, really straightforward about the fact how that is the smallest of the changes that have happened in my life over the last handful of years. The biggest changes, the most notable changes, the people who knew me then probably wouldn't even recognize me now, not because of my outside, but because of my inside, because I was steeped in excuses and in lethargy and in procrastination and in just a victim mentality of like, everything sucks, it's not fair, nothing's going right. So I wouldn't have been attractive to almost anybody, not so much about my physical body, but the state of my mind. You were going to say something.
Can you ask the question one more time, please? Read it one more time.
Would you have dated?
No.
Well, there we have it, folks. No. What, this is a question for you. What is it like? This is not one that you saw ahead of time because this came in just before we started recording. What is it like loving and living with someone who has so much energy?
I think it is very, I think it's very positive. I really love living with Elizabeth. Her ability to get up helps my ability to get up. Knowing that if she's awake and working and I stay in bed like a slug, I tend to be like, I feel bad, and it kind of gets me to motivate and get up and start moving around and doing stuff myself. So it's very positive. I enjoy it greatly.
And you know, this has been a real learning opportunity for me too, because I'm an idea person and I get excited about my ideas. I think they're great. And I think in terms of like big potential and big opportunity. So when we first started dating, I mean, after we like got to know each other a little bit, but after the first few months, I feel like I was very regularly being like, oh my gosh, I have a great idea for you. You should do this. You would be amazing at this. And that happened all the time. And what I learned, he's like dying to say something. What?
I changed like 17 jobs over the first 6 months of dating, because every other morning she had another idea. And I got really good at trying a bunch of different stuff.
Okay, so it was like three, but whatever. It was actually two in the first few months, three, four, anyway. It doesn't matter.
The number keeps going up.
So I had to learn that my style's my style. And I love to try new things, and I have a real sense of what I want for my life. But my drive, my tenacity, my tendency to get excited over ideas is just mine, right? My style is my style. My speed is my speed. My drive is my drive. And he's not me. My way isn't necessarily the right way. It's certainly not the only way. It's just my way. And so that has been a real learning opportunity. And even now, we've just moved in together. It's been like exactly a month, actually. Today, as of the day we're recording this, it's been exactly a month. And even that, just being in the same space every day, continues this learning opportunity that my way isn't necessarily right and his way isn't necessarily wrong. It's just very, very different. And so my work ethic and my drive is mine and not his. And we both have to stay mindful of that, don't you think?
Absolutely. We have to stay mindful of that. My relaxation drive and good timing is not hers, and it's evident.
And by good timing, he doesn't mean like my timing is impeccable.
Well, my tact is terrible.
No, he means like he loves to have a good time. And he is, and then that's one of the great things about how we potentially, when all things are firing on all cylinders, can balance each other out. It certainly can be tension at times, but. Oh, yeah. We are very, very different in that. And it's just like learning to accept the other person and also love the differences instead of resent them. Because sometimes the things that bring you together because they're fun and different can become the things you learn to resent about each other or resist. And so for us, I would say 10 times a day, we're trying to remind ourselves like they do things differently and that's okay. Right?
We do things differently.
Like today, he almost burned the house down.
It was a controlled burn, and I was just trying to turn over the topsoil in the garden.
There was nothing controlled about it as I ran around with a shingle trying to put out fire as it spread across the yard.
She tried to put out fire, ladies and gentlemen, with a wooden shingle. That's all you need to know about the situation.
It was not a controlled burn. Anyway, next question. Okay. What is, and I'll answer this as well, but we'll start with you. What is your best relationship advice? Disclaimer, disclaimer, we're not experts at all.
I would say the best relationship advice is to always keep an open mind. You're dealing with a completely different person. I don't care how similar two people can be. They are still different people, and they're going to take something a different way. They're going to learn something a different way. They're going to put their clothes on the floor sometimes, accidentally leaving them there. They may or may not clean up the way you like.
Today, Junior, this is becoming a reminder to me to chill out. Can you give your best relationship advice? Wrap it up, kid.
Oh, my best relationship advice is just to respect each other and know that every day is going to be a new learning experience and to use that learning experience to make everything better.
I think we're going to replay this in the morning for ourselves before it airs. Anyway, my best relationship advice is...
Elizabeth, what is... you know, we're not experts or anything, but Elizabeth, what would you say is your best relationship advice?
Mine is to be more focused on getting it right than on being right. Because we like to win and our egos are a factor in relationship, but we have to keep that in check. And so the ego wants to be right, to prove a point, see it my way, get my perspective. But you can be right and really unhappy. You can be right and alone. You can be right and hurt somebody. So be willing, for the sake of your relationship, to be willing to be wrong and get it right. Like, it's, and sometimes it's not even a matter of who's right and who's wrong, except maybe for your ego. Try to get the situation right, get the resolution right, get the relationship right, instead of being right in an argument, being right in a situation. And I give you credit for a lot of this one. Use humor. I think that that is just sorely lacking from so many situations. And though we certainly get mad and lose our tempers and all of that, we have learned over time the power of humor to diffuse a situation. Doesn't work 100% of the time. But to the extent that you can laugh at yourself and at each other and at the situation, I think that makes a big difference. This question is wicked hard and I don't have an answer for it, so I'm going to see if you do. What is your definition of love? While you think about that, what is your definition of love? I'm just going to say I have no freaking idea. I think it's different day to day, relationship to relationship. I'm not even going to try to define it. Because there's going to be an exception to every single definition. And so going back to episode 261, where we were talking about the goal is the feeling, you know, I want to focus on what love feels like versus what love is. And are you like singing a song in your head? He's about, I can tell by the look on his face that he's about to like, I want to know what love is and I want you to show me. Is that what you're thinking? No. Okay, God, save us. No singing. He's like my mother in that regard. For any, since she did it today, my mom was here this morning and she started singing about the holly and the ivy. He's the same way. I can tell by the look on his face that he's thinking in lyrics. You think about if you have a definition for love. But I want to wonder and pursue and move towards what love feels like in a given moment, like in an argument. How do I want to feel in this? I certainly don't want to feel angry. I don't want to feel hurt. I don't want to feel mad. I want to feel connected. So how can we communicate in a way that we feel connected? To me, I'm not interested in defining it. I know it feels different moment to moment, situation to situation, and I just want to have that feeling of love between us. I have lost him to some lyric, so I don't even know what is about to come out of his mouth. I'm a little afraid. Remember, we're not out at dinner. This is a podcast. What is your definition of love?
Love is like oxygen. Love lifts us up where we belong. All you need is love. I think love is just it's really just a deeper, more personal, stronger like of a person.
Okay. Love is like plus. All right. That was really deep and meaningful. Yeah. What made us fall in love with each other? I'll answer first so that you have a moment to think and come up with something really good, better than your answer to what is love, which if I had to grade on an A to F scale, D.
You didn't want me singing.
Singing would have been better than love is like plus.
I was getting ready to sing, but you were telling me no lyrics. So.
Anyway, okay. What made me fall in love with him? Going back to the question about like somebody being emasculated, he can't be. He is so secure in who he is in any and every situation, whether it's a new situation, new people, familiar people, a happy moment, a stressful moment. He knows who he is. He is not afraid of it. He does not apologize for it. And that strength and confidence was super attractive to me. And then the other thing, as small as this might sound, I remember early on learning that he has had the same core group of best friends since like kindergarten. And they are still in almost daily contact. They see each other regularly. And that loyalty is certainly not something I've had in my life. And I just have a ton of respect for that. So he is the kind of person that we could have had the biggest blow up fight. We could break up. And if I called him and said, I need help, there would be no questions asked. There would be no hard feelings. There would be no expectation of something in return.
And an answer of no. No, I'm kidding.
He would say yes. He is just that kind of person. So that is what made me fall in love with him. How about you?
I would say Elizabeth's charming smile, personal drive, along with her humility and intelligence is really what drives my love for her.
Thanks, babe. Let's talk about CrossFit.
Let's talk about CrossFit.
So if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you know I'm a big CrossFit fan. I've been doing CrossFit for a couple years now. I think it's really awesome. It makes me feel good. It is my preferred form of exercise. And though we just... Let's see. We've been together for a little over 2 years, and for the first year, it was semi-long distance. We lived about an hour and a half apart, so we going to the gym together wasn't an option, and he wasn't working out regularly anyway. And then when I moved to Cape Cod, I joined a CrossFit gym down here, and he didn't go with me. But there wasn't really pressure. I'd ask every once in a while, hey, you want to come to the gym with me? And the answer was nope, 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 nope. Until a couple months ago, I said, hey, do you want to come to the gym with me? And he said, yes. And that was his first CrossFit workout. And then he joined the gym. He goes regularly 4 to 6 times a week now and is really enjoying it. So what made you say yes to working out with me that time?
I was looking to get back into the gym myself anyway. You seem to really be enjoying the box you were going to, and I figured you wouldn't steer me wrong. And just to go back a little bit, I did read some of your emails mentioning how I'm not good at CrossFit. It seems like you think I'm better at cross-dress than CrossFit, and I want to let people know that that might be true.
Cross-dress. He does have one pair of women's leggings that are iridescent that he does sometimes wear out when he dresses up as King Triton. And so when there was a polar plunge a few weeks ago, he dressed up as King Triton in his shiny iridescent women's leggings. But that's a whole other story. So, yeah. No, you have gotten significantly better over the past couple months in the gym because it was totally new to you. So you've been doing it for a couple months now. General impressions. What do you like about it? Is there anything you don't like?
I like the camaraderie and everything at this particular box. I also like the feel that there is a little bit of competition without making anyone feel bad.
Well, and that's really interesting because that was something you were worried about. Initially, you thought that in a group setting, it was going to be eyes on you, people thinking that you're slow or that you're weak. And now I think you've seen that the support from people at all levels, people who are maybe a lot older, people who are younger, people who are in much better shape, people who are not in as good of a shape, they're all cheering you on. So I would just, for the people who are listening, who maybe don't want to go to a gym because of some of the things you thought, like, well, they're going to look at me and feel like, you know, what are you doing here? What has been your experience with that?
I have found that I can outlift the 60-year-old women. And that does not emasculate me.
He is a lot stronger and a lot fitter than maybe he would give the impression. But no, did you ever feel like you were being judged in a negative way in that setting?
I would say my first actual class, when I was actually called the time on me, And I looked at the coach and just said, I didn't come here for 21-15.
So
the exercise was supposed to be 21 reps, 15 reps, 9 reps. And I only got through the first two because I was terrible.
Well, yeah. So what? Sometimes in CrossFit workouts, there's a time cap, meaning if you're not done by this time, it's over for you. And so he got time capped. Basically, the coach walked up and said, your workout's over. And this is his first time in the gym. And this was a coach that I've worked with a lot. She's the sweetest thing. And she comes up and she says, you're done. And he looks at her. And I don't think he understood fully what was happening. And he goes, I didn't come here for 21-15. And he proceeded to finish the workout while she just stood there, poor thing. Like, I mean, all right. But then afterwards, she said, that won't ever happen again. So, okay. But in fairness, though, have you felt...
I try to lead. I try to cheer everyone on just as much as I'd like to be cheered on. So I think there is very much an atmosphere of support.
Yeah, for sure. Do we train together? Like, do we work out together?
Actually, when we are in the same class, she tries to be as far out of my sight as she can be, but also in line of sight of me so she can watch and critique what I'm doing because I don't know enough. And she's actually level one certified to coach. So I know she's always kind of watching what I'm doing just to give me pointers later. But a few times a week we do end up in the same class.
Yeah, our schedules are a little bit different right now. So we only work out together a couple times a week. I wouldn't say I go out of my way to be far away from you, but I do think...
It miraculously happens every time.
I just want to leave a little space for us to have our own independent workouts, but I am keeping an eye on him because I care. How... are we adjusting to having moved in together a month ago?
It's been a pretty easy adjustment for me, I think, because I'm not on the lease. So
it's not a lease.
It doesn't matter. I'm not on the paperwork. So if I mess up, I don't have a roof.
He shared with me this funny meme on social media. It was super, super, super cold here. And it was something on Facebook that was like, guys, if your name's not on the lease, this is a terrible time to start an argument. And I thought that was really appropriate. It's not a lease. And for anybody that's curious, we do live together in this house. We didn't buy it together, but we're very much in it together.
We are very much in it together. Doing the work on it together, sleeping in it together. Like, sleeping in it at the same time.
We are in it together, even though the financial responsibility is different. Emotional responsibility and commitment, I think.
Very much equal.
Yeah.
Emotionally equal.
We are on the same page.
Financially, she's winning.
Financially, I'm winning. I mean, hey, it's not a competition, but yeah, if it was, I'm winning. do you ever, this is such a weird question. Somebody wants to know if you are ever envious of my food choices.
No.
If anything, it would be the other way around. He has at times like cut back a little bit and he can lose weight by wanting to lose weight and still like having beers and having French fries. Whereas for me, I do have to be a lot more disciplined. That's just my body. That's my makeup. A lot of it is male, female, but a lot of it is my own physiology. So if there were to be envy one way or another, it's coming from my end. But I don't think either of us really feel that way.
No. And especially when we go out to eat, I think we do try to remain somewhat conscious. I know Elizabeth is a lot more strict about how conscious she is with what she's eating. Because she is very much into her lifestyle, because that's been a positive rub off on me. And I do pay attention somewhat to what I'm eating and I try to get something that she will at least try and enjoy so we can share some of our foods together. So there's no need to be envious when it comes to that.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's very much learned what I will eat or not eat. And there's nothing that's really off limits, but
if I want to eat my entire dish, I just make sure there's mushrooms in it.
That's true. I don't like mushrooms. Somebody wants to know if you always support my health habits and what we do if you don't.
Her habits are her habits. I support everything she does. What she eats has no direct effect on me. So I'm going to support her if it's what she wants to do. If she wants to do a 7-day fast, great. I might even partake in a few days.
And that's exactly what happened. Like I told him, I said, I'm going to do a 7-day fast. And I think initially it was like, why would you ever do that? But
food.
I know, but food. I like to eat as well. We share that. We really love to eat. But when I did the 7-day fast, you were totally supportive. You weren't like antagonizing me or trying to talk me out of it. And you joined me for the last couple days of it. When I did the clinical study for Viome.
I think support from others helps make difficult things like that easier. And I'm not saying a fast is difficult, but it can be mentally taxing, if anything. And knowing that someone's got your back just helps make that move along.
And the other part of that is he's extremely supportive of my work ethic, of my personal goals, my financial goals, my professional goals. But if he wasn't, that doesn't change what I'm going to do.
Right.
I
wish she would take more time for herself and really kind of relax a bit more. It's not something she's used to, so it's going to take time.
And even if I wanted something that he didn't understand or he didn't support, I'm not looking for his permission. And he's not looking for mine either. So while it's amazing to have support of somebody, it's also not a requirement for our own personal progress. We can make the choices, regardless of whether or not it's easier to have somebody on board behind us. We are still responsible for the trajectory of our own lives, independent of whether or not. So if I say, hey, tomorrow I'm going to start da 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 da, and he says, that's ridiculous, that's crazy, you shouldn't do it, I'm still going to make the choice that is best for me, whether I have a support or not.
I agree with that, but I would never tell you something you want to do is crazy.
We'll see. I'll keep you posted if that changes. This is a question for you.
That's crazy.
How do you support me with as much as I have going on? So somebody was like, you know, she's got so much on her plate. What do you do to support her?
If there is something going on between us in regards to the house or something not associated with your work, I'll try and pick up that load. Right now I'm trying to get an office built for her, so she can go outside of the house and be able to record where it's quiet. 'Cause I know that gets stressful for her. So, I mean, if there's something that I can do that'll help take a stress off her, I'll usually pick up that weight and go.
Yeah. And I think that a lot of this is on me. If I have a lot going on and I need or want support, so much of that is on me to communicate that. So last week there was crazy stuff going on with my car and it got to the point where I needed help in handling it. So I was very specific. Will you call these people to accomplish this thing? And I do that with the house as well. So he is great about picking up the slack where he can and handling things that he can do so that I am free to do the things that only I can do. But I also think that there's a huge piece of it that's my responsibility to communicate what I need. This question's for both of us. How do we keep our relationship strong? And I'll be the first one to say, like, sometimes it doesn't feel strong. And sometimes it feels really strong. Sometimes it feels completely unshakable. We're on the same page. Everything is great. And other times it's a freaking challenge and it's a struggle. But for me, what keeps it strong are two things. One is communication and just being unwavering in the willingness to be honest about what we need and how we feel. And the other one's just commitment and establishing that commitment over and over and over again. What do you think? What do we do to keep our relationship strong?
To get strong and stronger, we use CrossFit. Upper Cape CrossFit, for those that want to know.
I feel like we just earned maybe like a free month membership or something.
I don't know. I'm sure Ken's listening. He does that now. It's all about support. I know even when I mess up, because I'm not perfect, and as much as Elizabeth seems like she is to you guys, she would be the first to admit that she's not either, even though she's a lot closer than I am to it. It's knowing that perfection is not attainable, but working towards it is still the goal. So that's really where you got to be.
Yeah. I mean, I think for both of us, just we're so, so different in just about every way.
I'm a guy and she's a girl. I mean, that's as different as you can get.
Just coming back to the fact that it's not that my way is right and his way is wrong. It's just that we're different. So what is that thing we're trying? There is a common goal we have. We want to be happy and we want to be happy together. So what is that going to take from me? And what is that going to take from him? What do you think about that?
Yes, you're right.
See how that works? It's amazing.
XXXY. So different.
What do we like to do for fun? I think we both really love working on this house.
Elizabeth doesn't like working on the house.
I had so much fun working in the orchard the other day. That was so fun.
That's working on the property. I am working on the house.
I painted the bathroom today.
Touché.
But I didn't like it. I like working on the property. Yeah. Okay. Hey, so one of the listeners says, I'm about to move in with my boyfriend. What advice do you guys have for cohabitated bliss?
Make sure that you are fully aware that he is going to become less perfect in your eyes and you're going to become less perfect in his eyes holding such close proximity. But know that you're going to learn new things throughout the process. And it's going to get better, and you're actually going to get more connected because of that learning.
I like that. Mine would be the same as my general relationship advice, which is be more committed to getting it right than to being right. Okay, a couple other last rapid.
One more thing. The first few months, make sure you have lots of Beano on hand. It helps.
Gas X, whatever works for you. Okay.
Potential sponsors. I'm just saying.
Yeah, no. Okay, this one is a little bit more personal, and I think it's kind of funny. How long did we wait to kiss? I think the question might have actually been, how long did we wait for you to kiss me? I don't even know. I'm
an hour and a half.
That is true. We kissed on the first date. I think it might have been a little bit longer than that, but it was on the first date.
I'm a little hussy, and I just attacked her mouth. We started out at the Bell in Hand is where I first met her, in a much delayed first date because I had some familial guilting that caused me to postpone our sushi date. We went to Bell in Hand in Boston, and then after that, we went to the Green Dragon where I eventually made out with her.
True story.
They're next door to each other.
Yeah. It was a winter Boston date. Okay. I guess this is not so much a rapid fire question, but when it comes to like dating and relationships, and I'm so excited to have a guy's perspective on this because I'll certainly share mine. I got a couple of messages, how to handle rejection, how to overcome rejection, how to deal with rejection. And I have a mantra that has helped me not just in personal, if you want to call it rejection. So somebody doesn't want to go out with you, somebody breaks up with you, whatever that is, but also professional rejections of different kinds. And that is, what I want wants me. What I want wants me. And what that means basically is that if something or someone doesn't want me, then that's not the right thing for me, because what is right for me wants me with as much enthusiasm as I want it. So it to me is like saving time and saving energy and saving emotion, because as much as I might like an idea or like a person, if they don't feel the same way about me, then that is not what I want for my life. And there is something out there for me that will meet me with equal enthusiasm. So that has helped me dramatically with rejection. But gentleman's point of view. What do you think?
What's rejection, if you're going to get into it like that? In a personal life, Elizabeth's absolutely right. If it doesn't want to be with you, why do you want to be with it? Or her or him or whoever it is that's rejecting you. If you look at it more as a business life, there's ways to turn no's to yes, and there's many articles written about it. But I mean, just know your worth. If you know your worth and you go for something and it says no, you've got two options. You can accept the no, or you can try harder. I guess you have a third option, and you can just say forget it and move on.
Well, that would be accepting the no.
No, you don't have to accept it to move on.
Fair enough. So this...
That was my non-answer.
I appreciate that. Do you have any final questions for me or final thoughts for this episode?
I came ridiculously unprepared, so I do not have notes or anything written in front of me on a laptop that I can't see. I was railroaded.
What a brilliant way to end this. But we're not going to end there because, so you and I were together, I think, when I made the decision to have Thrive Market sponsor the podcast. Is that right? We had that conversation together, didn't we?
She told me, yes, that she was going to have Thrive Market sponsor her podcast.
And you have been a beneficiary of much of the yumminess, haven't you?
Elizabeth has cooked Thrive Market products for me.
No, but seriously, I want to get at some of the things that you like, because here's why I'm bringing this up like this. There are a lot of people who maybe struggle with the idea of shifting their food choices the way that I have shifted mine, or maybe the way they feel like they ought to lose weight. And you have straight up enjoyed, like, for example, I talk about this one all the time, but the Primal Kitchen Chipotle Lime Mayo.
Love it.
Yay or nay on it.
Absolutely love it.
I'm trying to think of other things that you've really...
I've enjoyed the coconut wraps.
Oh, yeah, the Nuco coconut wraps. I've done like breakfast burritos and stuff in those.
Those are very good. I believe you got the bamboo noodles.
Palmini?
Palmini.
Nope, that is Amazon.
Dang it.
Nice try. Wah, wah. This episode...
No, but you did have some noodles that were good for me from Thrive Market.
Yes, those would be the shiitake noodles.
Those, the shiitakes, shiitake noodles, yes.
Yes. But yeah, I bring that up because sometimes when we think about like an alternative grocery store or something, the sense is like healthy food is not good. But I want to just get your take when I am doing like, oh, the cabbage salad bowl with the Primal Kitchen.
Cabbage salad bowl was very good, but that also used that chipotle mayo from them.
That's what I'm saying. Yum. Yeah. So, you know, there's so many different things. When I made the hemp heart crusted chicken nuggets, those were
very good.
Yeah. So for somebody who maybe isn't as deep into making food choices that make them feel their absolute best.
Healthy can be delicious and it doesn't have to be expensive.
There you go. I didn't even prompt him on that, but it's very true. On that note, we will wrap up. Happy Valentine's Day. I will put links to all of those items that we mentioned from Thrive Market in the show notes. You can just go to thrivemarket.com/primalpotential. You will get a free 30-day membership, 25% off your first order. I will link to those items in the show notes. Happy Valentine's Day, babe. Thanks for doing this.
Happy Valentine's Day. I love you and hope everyone has a great day.
We'll talk to you guys later. Take care.
Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the Primal Potential Podcast, where my goal is not to inform you, but to transform you. And if you would like to receive free motivation and strategy and recipes, workouts, meal ideas every week right to your inbox, just text the word PRIMAL to the number 44222 or go to primalpotential.com/join. It's a great way to get the tools, the strategies, and the practical implementation assistance that you need to create your own transformation between podcast episodes. Just text the word PRIMAL to the number 44222 or go to primalpotential.com/join. See you there.